A couple of weeks ago, you heard Paul and I talk about the Fort Wayne's 10-point Coalition for Peace. And this was an opportunity here in Fort Wayne for the church entities to get together for prayer, number one, but also to do a walk for peace. And it was a local initiative, and there are other initiatives that exist around us and many that you may have participated in yourself. But sometimes what we find in our own denomination is an awareness of what is it that we are doing specifically as our own denomination to make a difference. What are we doing on the global platform to work toward areas of peace? So a key question may be asked, in the world today, who are we as the brethren and what difference are we making? In light of the disasters around us, both in the United States as well as in the world, we can pray, and we do that diligently, for the work that is being done. And we can pray for those who are out there doing the work, those who are being the hands and the feet of Christ to bring peace to the world. Sometimes the best way is not to talk about it, but to show it. And I could bring in a guest speaker. However, if I would have brought in a guest speaker today, that would have been one person with that one passion in that one area. And I want to give you more of a global effect of what we as brethren are doing. And nowhere did I mention, and am I going to be mentioning, the Heifer Project, which is one of the main projects that we do. So thank you so much, Cheryl, for bringing that to our attention. So let's review, and I'm going to use a PowerPoint presentation here to sort of guide you along. First of all, the world we know, we face spiritual darkness. We know that we face economic downturn, hunger, poverty, disease, sex trafficking, dirty water, illiteracy, and violence. Many people are simply convinced that the world is a hopeless place. But we as Christians, we as brethren, see in the scripture that hope always perseveres because we are the hands that serve. We are the feet that carry the gospel of peace. We are the arms that embrace the brokenhearted. And we are the voice that pleads for truth and justice. We are the light that shines through darkness and through despair. We are God's chosen tool for hope and for change. Now, there are American missions that we have. Many denominations work in the United States. And many of them state as a whole that we need to be careful when we speak about pursuing God's purposes. We need to state that we are pursuing God's purposes instead of the American dream. Now, when I first read that, that shook me up a little bit because that's what how I was raised as an American, raised the American dream. And they're not saying that you can't pursue that by any means, but they're talking about how Jesus turned the gospel upside down. He's here for that reason. And I got to thinking about it. You know, think about our English language. What word in the English language must always be capitalized? I. That's not true in every language. Look at the Spanish. What word must be capitalized in the Spanish language? You. Ustedes. Always capitalized. I. Is not. And so I find it interesting that in our American English culture, even our language states and tells us to put ourselves first. Whereas that's not true in every language, it's not true in every culture, and it certainly isn't true scripturally. God doesn't say, put yourself first in front of everyone. Because after all, we are the church, and the mission of the church does matter. So let's do a global look at some things that the Church of the Brethren does on a global end. One, we do have missionaries in many countries. We do run a Brethren Disaster Ministries. We do run the Brethren Volunteer Service, the BVS, as you're familiar, you're used to hearing it. We do run work camps, the one that you saw earlier in pre-worship that was based for junior high. There's junior high, there's high school, but there's also intergenerational work camps where grandparents can go with grandchildren and parents. You can mix up the generations and you can go have these experiences together. We also run a global food initiative, and we also run international ministries. One person who I have really learned to have a deep appreciation for is Jay Whitmire. How many of you are familiar with Jay? Not too many hands. Okay, well, he is the executive director for Global Missions and Service for God for the Church of the Brethren. If you go to annual conference, once you see his face up here, you'll not forget it and you'll see it with frequency. He's often on stage giving a prayer or giving a talk, a report on global missions, but you'll always find him in breakout sessions. He will often present, sometimes and did, with Kathy Fry Miller. You probably know Kathy. She lives in North Manchester. She has just recently resigned her position as the Children's Disaster Relief Director. Now, the Church of the Brethren, our statement for global missions is such that the ministries of global mission and service seek to integrate faith and service as they challenge and equip brethren to respond to human need and to grow the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. To grow churches is part of it. And if you look at Africa, if you look at Nigeria, if you look at one small spot of Nigeria in that top right-hand corner, the northeast corner, there is a church there in Metaguri that has 5,000 attendees every Sunday morning. They have the largest Church of the Brethren congregation in the world. Jay just visited that church. You're going to see pictures of that pretty soon. And so he responds. Now, he's on Facebook. So if any of you are on Facebook, you can get a hold of Jay. You can be following him and seeing what we're doing for global missions. Now, this, you can see, they're already past that, but that's okay. It's a very fortified city. EYN is the name of our Nigerian church. It's the congregation denomination that they call it. And they're taking in, of course, a number of refugees that are running from Boko Haram. Now, on his website, as you see, this is the church. And these are Jay's pictures that I took off of his Facebook page. The beautiful people and the beautiful children. So what ministries is the Church of the Brethren most well known for or most involved in? And I'd have to say that even though we've mentioned major areas, that it's probably the disasters. It's when we go in and we rebuild. But I'd like us to do just a very quick video of global missions offerings, just so you get a full taste of it and see what it looks like.
And surrounded by BVSers, it just seemed the logical thing. That's what you do in life, is you go do service work.
That's what you do in life, you go do service work. In the Church of the Brethren, service work has a broad definition. It can mean work camps, channeling the boundless energy of youth and young adults into helping better people's lives in the name of Christ. It can mean partnerships with the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria, a church striving to build peace between Christians and Muslims, and to speak peace into religious violence. It means partnership with new Christians in Haiti, building houses and building the church community and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means walking alongside Christians in South Sudan, partnering with the Africa Inland Church to strengthen peace and reconciliation efforts in that war-torn nation. It means supporting relatively new Church of the Brethren congregations in the Dominican Republic and in Brazil, churches that emphasize the teaching of Jesus and love of God and neighbor.
We believe that if we can teach them and we can influence them with the Anabaptist perspective, we will be doing a very good job helping others to be more Christian-like.
The more that I'm there, the more I'm realizing that how important peace-building work and trauma healing work is in a country where the people have been at war for over two decades.
There are great work that's going on in Haiti, and since we started the Brethren 8 years ago, so we now have about 23 churches, including Preaching Points, and the work is growing and continue. And as today Pastor Eves reported, that we have about 1,800 members in the church in Haiti.
The work of Global Mission and Service is the work of the Church of the Brethren around the world. Brethren Volunteer Service, the Work Camp Ministry, and international partnerships not only in Nigeria, Haiti, South Sudan, and Brazil, but also with partners in Vietnam, in India, and recently in Spain. A few of the places where Brethren have followed the call to share the gospel and make a difference in people's lives. The work of Church of the Brethren Global Mission and Service Ministries is only possible because of the support of generous congregations and individuals like you. Please consider participation in the Global Mission offering, and thank you for believing in this important ministry. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
There have been a number of men and women from northern Indiana who have gone on these disaster relief projects. And you had Dave Scheib here. Do you recall his presentation during a summer forum? He went to Nigeria and he came and gave a report. We also have had him, as well as others, go to Puerto Rico that was affected by Hurricane Marie also, to North Carolina this last September that was injured and badly broken by Hurricane Florence. So you're familiar with these. I'd like to show you exactly what Springfield, Illinois. I tell you what, it's interesting. I watch a lot of these news clips, and so many of them come from Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. It's very interesting. So let's see exactly what it is that Springfield did for a hurricane situation.
In October 2016, Hurricane Matthew moved up the southeast coast, battering Florida, Georgia, and both North and South Carolina. The storm's track shifted west and created the worst damage inland. More than 15 inches of rain fell on the area already sodden from higher than average rainfall in the weeks prior to the hurricane. In North Carolina, a state of emergency was declared for half of the 100 North Carolina counties. Hurricane Matthew did an estimated $4.8 billion in damage to those 50 counties. Lumberton and the surrounding Robeson County have been the most impacted. On September 28th, just days before Hurricane Matthew drove through North Carolina, 10 inches of rain fell overnight, causing the Lumber River to rise 6 feet, 2.5 feet above flood levels. 3 days later, Hurricane Matthew passed through the Lumber River again. It crested this time at 22 feet, 9 inches. The flooding caused by the Lumber River as well as the Neuse and Tar Rivers affected thousands of people in the surrounding counties of Bertie, Beaufort, Cumberland, Edgecombe, and Robeson. Our group consisted of 13 people, including Dale and Kathy Frederick, Jeff Gerhardt, Ron Halteman, Bob and Janet Kantner, Brenda Luck, Jeff Mertis, Tony Mertis, Bob Pickering, Tara Purcell, and Walter and Shirley Weaver. They, along with a group from the Shenandoah District, did everything from roofing to flooring in an effort to help people to rebuild and return to their homes. As we consider projects such as this in the midst of long days and grueling work, it's important to remember God's command from Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Thank you to all who laid aside your time and offered your ability and your availability to help those in need. May God bless you. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war,
you can turn that off. Thank you. You alone are the anchor. In the eye of the storm. What we as brethren are very good about doing, and someone said, well, you're a peace-loving church. Where are you in the times of battle? And I said, well, who do you think picks up the pieces after the battle? Who do you think's out there doing that work? We are. We are. All of our missions, whether it's here or whether it's afar, we provide the message to cast away all violence, all fears. And only love can do that. Only love can do the work of reconciliation. We love the fact that we have this opportunity for people of all ages so that they can see beyond themselves, so that teens can meet other teens around the United States. And then as they say it, they can see Christ at work. You know, we have to believe in, and with the church, I believe in being very nonpartisan. I think that's the only way we find unity in the church, and we find love with one another. But we do have this thing called voting, which we need to do as church individuals. That we need to know what are the issues out there, and where do we stand? How can we make a difference? Voting is one. One thing that we need to be aware of, and I'm not sure if you know, is that presently our administration has announced that it is reversing the temporary protective status for our Haitian citizens. Now, they were allowed to live and work in the United States since the earthquake ravaged their main island in 2010. And as we know, there have been other hurricanes that have taken over, that have decimated them. And what it's stating now is that 60,000 Haitians are to leave the country by July 2019. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Haiti, but our daughter has, our daughter Adrienne. And she can tell you that there is nothing there. There is nothing there for them to return to. 60,000 people are going back to nothing. Nothing. So we need to remain vigil. We need to just be aware of the consequences of what stance we take, of our actions, of our vote. It does make a difference because we are responsible for the next generation. What else can we do? Well, regardless of our age, we can roll up our sleeves, we can get in, we can support our missionaries in prayer, we can be asking them, how can we best help you? How can we best service you? But what I love about Lincolnshire, what you do for one another in times like this, is you create moments and times of support for one another. You bind yourselves together. We have anointings. You do times of service. We have beautiful times of worship. And sometimes we just have simple laughter and joy, and we embrace that. Just want to challenge you to make sure that we take our services seriously, both here in our sanctuary as well as in the neighborhood. Let us seek ways to spread the good news that God is alive and He is well, that Christ has a saving grace, and that we are here to help. Good news is needed at this time, here and abroad. So let not our harmony fade away. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, you are all merciful. Guide us, Lord. Guide us with your heart. Guide us with your eyes. Let us be so submissive to your will, Lord, that just a word from you, a word from your scripture turns us in the right direction. Thank you, Lord, for all you are, for all that you're doing in our lives. Amen. Let's stand for the closing hymn. As a benediction. May the God of peace, who raised Christ from the dead, strengthen your inner being for every good work. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit rest among and dwell within you this day and forevermore. Amen.